We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to tell you just about three things that a church is doing. A little kind of pause advertisement here while you flip on there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. On November the 23rd, so about a month and a half away, we're going to do a fundraiser to raise money for Bibles, cases and cases of Bibles, because in 2026, I'm anticipating we're just going to give hundreds of these things away. And so during the Christmas season, it's actually the best time to buy bulk Bibles. And so on that one day, I'm going to say to you, everybody commit to a number in your head and then give it that day, because then the next week they go on sale, and then we want to buy as many as we can with whatever came in. And so the 23rd of November, again, just put that in your mind. We don't have a slide. I haven't told anybody. The board's looking at me crazy. My poor staff's like, what are you talking about? It just came to me last night. I was remembering, so I want to do that. So there you go, November 23rd. It's a Sunday, so we'll be okay. I don't know what that does to you. For some of us, you're like, cool. You're actually here this morning. You'll be like, I'm giving this morning. I'm not even hesitating. I've been waiting all year for you to say that, so I'm going to give. And for some of you, that doesn't resonate. That's okay, because there's some of you like me, you love candy. And Pastor Ben talked about already, but we're going to do a fall carnival, October the 31st. I think it's a Friday-ish, somewhere in there. And so could you buy candy, all peanut-free and squishies, and could you come help us give it to the kids, because we're going to pray that they would get invited back to one of our programs. And you might be like, wow, that's my lane. I'm going to buy like a whole cart. I'm going to go in Costco and buy like a case of candies, because that's awesome. And then for some of you, and I've said this story before, is that when Omni and I kind of met back in the day, like over 23 years ago, and so we had a Bible study, a young adults Bible study, and I was working in retail, and all throughout the year, when they'd mark things down to like a nickel, I would buy like 10 of them. So that all throughout the year, by the time we got to pack in the shoebox time, I would have like 10 of like 10 different items, and I would be able to make 10 boxes, because I'm a numbers guy, and I thought, I heard on average that if you give away 10 of these shoeboxes, one person gets saved. I thought, I can do that, and one person will get saved. And I was thinking about it all year, and then Omni heard about me doing that, and she was like, she was attracted to that. So you young guys, you don't mess around. You get some shoeboxes, and you're going to... Anyway, let's just move on with the message. But hey, this morning when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 here, there's this subheading that it'll be in most people's Bible in verse 6. So you look at it. What does yours say? Mine says, sowing generously. Most subheadings will be generous, generosity, something like that. And so when I bring up those three different things, everybody in the room got excited about one of those things. Maybe you got excited about all three, maybe just one, maybe two of them. Why is that? Why is our hearts excited and passionate about one thing and not another thing? That's what I want to just look at a little bit in Scripture here today with us. Because I believe that when we bring a group of people together, that the body will meet every need. And sometimes you'll meet one need, but other times you'll meet other needs. So get passionate about whatever you feel excited about and be generous with whatever you feel excited about. But do it. Don't talk about it. Don't think, that is a cool idea. I'm really excited about that. And then don't do anything. What usually happens is you come to me, you're excited about something, and I say to you, well, you should do it. God's calling you. You're obviously excited about it. You think, oh, as a church, we should be doing this thing. I'm like, yes, you should. And you're like, no, I don't want to do it. Like, God's put it on my heart for somebody else to do it. No, he's put it on your heart because that's what God has for you. He wants you to be involved in some capacity to be generous. Now, let me clarify here as a church, as a pastor, I'm not referring to tithes. I'm not saying you should give 10%. This is not the message. What I'm saying is that we should be generous and give generously because God's a giver. And God gives generously. And God lives inside of you. You're going to be generous. You won't even have to, you know, be... I won't have to bring up three things that for you to get excited about. You'll just be excited about being generous because you know it's a blessing. There's the whole message. I'm done. Here we go. We should get started, though. We should probably read. Now, just before we read, I've got to pause for a sec. I just want to pray. Lord, as we look at, you know, like 50 scriptures this morning. Lord, it's your truth. And I pray that it would resonate in our hearts. I pray that it would be your words, not my words. I pray that there would bring light into the dark areas of our hearts that need to be illuminated. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive from you this morning. I pray against any hindrance, any blockage in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray as well for our mind, that our mind would be silenced to the distractions and to the negative thinking, and that your word would shed light in there, would speak to our minds in Jesus' precious name. It has power, and we're going to look at it together. Verse 6, here we go. So we're just going to read a section here. We'll pause and we'll unpack some of it. So in verse 6, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give." I'll come back to that. "Not reluctantly or under compulsion." Hey, you guys better start giving. You know, like, not like that. No, no, no. "For God loves a cheerful giver." Do it on your own. Be excited about it. You're passionate about it. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work." Wow, so good. "As it is written, he was scattered abroad, his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way," not financially, we'll look at this in a little bit, "so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." When we are generous, people say, "Thank you, Jesus." Isn't that just a wonderful result? "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience and accomplishments or accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you." Their prayers are going to go out to you and say, "Thank you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." Now, I've preached a message like this to you in my 7 years here, over 300 messages, but there is something that was just a fresh and a new I saw. And I'm going to give you a bit of a twist and a turn at the end. It's going to surprise you. But let's just focus on generosity just for a moment. So in verse 6, it says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." So I want to focus on, this is not the negative side of the room, I'm just being, it's the negative side of the scripture, the bad, and then the positive side of the scripture. So let's just look at the negative side. Whoever sows sparingly, there's a couple of scriptures that come to mind here. Let's go back just for a moment. If you want to go there, you want to just trust me, it's up to you. If you're taking notes, great. Job chapter 4, verse 8 says this, As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble are going to flip and reap it, man. Like, have you ever done that? You know, like throughout the day, you're just like, there's negative and it's frustrating, and it's hard. Well, then the rest of your day is negative and frustrating and hard. But if you start sowing something different, you're going to get a different result. So there's Job speaking it. It also reminds me of another scripture. So let's go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 15. We're going to hear through Moses' mouth a little bit here. So Deuteronomy 15, verse 1 says, "At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debt." So there's a bit of a theme going here. I don't want to spend a lot of time unpacking it, but God is giving them some instruction of what to do when there is debt. And listen to what God says. Okay, so every 7 years, I want you to cancel all the debts. And some people were like, wow, that's really insane. Like, you owe me some money. So here's what the story goes. Let's move down to verse 7. "If there is a poor man among your brothers," among brothers and sisters, "in any of the towns of the land that your Lord God has given you, don't be hard-hearted and don't be tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend to him whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward your needy brother and give him nothing. He may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin." Verse 10, this is really important. "Give generously to him, and don't say without, and do so without a grudging heart," sorry. "Then because this is the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything that you put your hand to." So that story is saying this. Okay, so every seventh year, whatever you owed me, however much candy you owed me, we could erase that. And so Just before the year of like next year is like, we're going to cancel all the debt. Everything you owe me, it's going to be canceled next year. And you come to me, you say, can I borrow something? I'm like, come to me in 6 months, because then that way you'll have 7 years to repay me. If I lent to you now, hey, like tomorrow it's going to get canceled and then I'll be out of pocket. Like that won't be cool. So your thinking is incorrect, right? That's negative thinking. Like, hey, if I give today, I might not have for tomorrow. We don't do that in Christianity. We just give generously, knowing that God is our supplier, not my pocketbook or not anything else, or my hard work is my supplier. God is my supplier. So we see the negative side of things. You know, don't let these thoughts come to mind. Don't dwell on them, because what you're plowing or what you're sowing seed of is concern and worry that God isn't going to provide or take care of you. You know, when God says to you, give something, Usually check with your spouse. Usually, you know, God's speaking to them as well. And there's this consistent of a thought. But then just do it out of gratitude to God. Thank you for asking me to do this. I do it with open hands because I have no worry about tomorrow. Don't let thoughts come to your mind. And I've done this before too. I'll just be honest with you. So I'm just talking about finances just for a second. I feel like when there's a missionary or I go down a conference and God is, you know, somebody's asking for money. And the first thought that goes through my head, like, I know how much money is in my wallet. And I'm thinking, like, you know, what's the lowest denomination in my wallet? And the Lord's like, no, I don't want that. And then I'm like, okay. And once I start doing that in my head, I give all my money. I'm like, I'm giving, because then that way there's no hesitation. Because it's just all gone. I don't have to think about it. And I just say, yes, Lord, I want to be that way more often in my life. Just take it all. I have no concern. You've taken care of me. You have blessed me richly. And as we read, what happens when you do that? It not only blesses you, but it blesses others. And then they'll praise God for you. And then they'll, if they're brothers and sisters, they'll pray for you. Like, it's a win, win, win. It's such a huge win. It's unbelievable. Let's look at the positive side. That's always important to do, right? If that wasn't so uplifting. So verse 6 again says, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Just share two scriptures with you. If we went to Proverbs, about to slam right in the middle of your Bible there. Now Proverbs 11, verses 24 onward. So Proverbs 11. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes other will himself be refreshed. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. Now, I was able to share this with some friends of ours that I grew up with in Prince Rupert. And so I don't think they're watching. They go to a different church in Prince Rupert. They go to the Baptist church. But we have the beautiful privilege now to be able to go to Rupert whenever we want. They bought the Highliner Hotel, the big concrete structure right downtown Prince Rupert. And they said, anytime you want to come here, we've renovated the penthouse, the very top floor, beautiful place, overlooking the ocean. They said, anytime you want to come here, just it's free on the house. And I'm like, oh my gosh. My first thought is like, don't take advantage of that. Maybe go there once a year. Don't go there like 10 times a year and don't take advantage. But I shared this scripture with him. I said, hey, as you refresh me, I'm able to come back to Terrace and hopefully be able to refresh other people. Like, that's the generosity that he has in his heart. He doesn't think twice about like, oh, if I say to the pastor, he's going to be here every weekend, you know, that thought doesn't go through his head. He's so generous that we go there on, you know, a weekend and he's putting in this brand new, I don't want to promote his business. That's not what I'm doing here. I promise. He didn't give me, you know, some money to do it. But like, we're downstairs, he's putting in a cafe, so he's like, how about you have some coffee? He just makes coffee, grinds it up, sends Omni home with some coffee. He said, it's open. If you want to just come down here and make a coffee, just go ahead and make it. Like, the place is not even open, and he's like, just go ahead and use it, because I know you know how to use the machine. And I'm thinking, this guy is just overly generous. Why is that? I want to show you, and I can't spoil it yet. We're going to get there in just a moment. But in Proverbs 29, or 22, sorry. Let's just flip over a couple pages. Proverbs 22. I get so excited, I get ahead of myself. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Man, we want to be generous. We want to be blessed. And when we do that, this is one way we can do that, by is just being generous. Whatever God puts on your heart, just no hesitation, just go with it. If you're wrong, let's just pretend. Okay, for example, you're totally wrong. It's your own thinking. It's your own ideas. You know, I put it in your head. And you go and be generous. Well, that's awesome. Like that, I mean, even if it was just, again, just your own personal thought, who cares? You get to bless somebody. And they will hopefully know that they're being a Christian and you're doing it out of love for somebody. Like that would be the worst case scenario. But I promise you scripturally, that is not the scenario. That's not the case. God sees it. God sees your heart. God sees your generosity. God wants to bless you and take care of you. That was only one verse. We got to keep going. Verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. Give it because you feel led to do it. Let me look at just a couple scriptures here. Old Testament. Let's go all the way back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 25. We'll end another one in Exodus. You might as well go there. Exodus 25. And verse 1 says, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. Whose heart. So not everybody gave. Isn't that interesting? In this moment, not everybody gave. But then we're going to go and read a bunch of other times when maybe some didn't give at that moment, but they gave in other moments. Almost like what we talked about at the beginning. Sometimes we feel super generous for something that's, you know, on our heart, and sometimes we don't. And it's not reluctant. It's just about doing what you feel that God is prompting you to do and to give. And when you do it, just do it well. So stay in Exodus, but I'm going to just move over to Ezra just for a second. You can stay there. You can come with me if you want. So Ezra 2, verse 68. Wow, there's a lot of verses in that one. When they arrived at the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, some of the heads of the families gave freewill offerings toward the rebuilding of the house of God on its site. Again, not everybody did, but some really felt compelled to do it. So you've really got to know what is your heart saying? And I'm not going to spoil it yet. We're getting there. What is my heart and what it's speaking to? So again, we're still in Exodus. You're still there. Exodus 34. So just, again, flip over a couple chapters. Oh, I lied. 35. Apologize. Exodus 35, verse 4 says, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who's willing to do this is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze. Let's just move down to verse 20. The whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of the meeting, for all of its service and for all the sacred garments. Just move down to verse 29. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for the work of the Lord through Moses, who had commanded them to do this. So we can see this, you know, all throughout history. For thousands of years, people have been just moved in their heart to give and be generous. And as each one of us do that individually, if I could put it like this as well. Hey, as a church, we're part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. We're part of the PAOC. So when we tithe here to this church, you know, 10% of your income comes into the house of God. You know that as a church, we tithe as well. So if you give 10 bucks, we give a dollar to our district office in Vancouver. And they do ministry and they do outreach and they spread the gospel. And then our district office, every $10 they get, $1 goes to our national office in Toronto. And in Toronto, they're able to do all kinds of wonderful ministry all across Canada. And then our national office gives, out of the $10, gives $1 to our international office, our Pentecostal international movement all across the globe. And they take that $1 that they give, and then they start doing ministry all across. So when you give here, it's not like, well, I'm just giving to the local church. You're like, you're giving across the globe. We're even reaching the moon, for crying out. I'm just joking, but like, it's just going. It's spreading because of our generosity. It reaches all across the globe. This is just a wonderful way that God works. And as we feel called to do that, as we do that with a willing heart, the results are just unfathomable. I can't even put into words. I can't even tell you all the stories of what happens when we give and are generous. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. So we're getting out of Exodus now just for a moment. We'll go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. So the people rejoice at the willing response of their leaders. for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king, the leader at the time, also rejoiced greatly. And this is what David did as well. I love this. And so, you know, he's the leader. He's in charge. He's like, oh, look at all this blessing, all those wonderful things that we can do for the kingdom. Listen to his heart, though. 1 Chronicles 29. Let's move back a couple verses, verse 3. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of God, over and above everything I've provided for this holy temple. David was doing so much work, but he also gave to the work of the kingdom. It's this interesting dynamics. Like, let's just be honest. So Pastor Ben and I, as you tithe, we do receive a salary for that. So your tithe pays us, and then Pastor Ben and I, out of your tithes, we tithe back to the church, you know, as leaders. We tithe as well. We don't go, oh, that's tithe money. I don't need to double tithe on that. Like, we'll triple tithe on it. We'll just keep giving. We'll just be generous. Like, it just, again, it all just flows. It's not like there's an end zone. It's like, when you give here, it all just goes, you know, or, you know, into, like, something. It just keeps going out. And that's what I love about generosity. God just, the more we give, the more just God gives us to give away, whether it's our time, energy, finances. We just give freely. Okay, one more verse here. So 2 Corinthians, let's go back there. Chapter 9, verse 11, 9:11, it's good. You will be made rich in every way. And so what would that look like? Be made rich in every way. And so let me just look at a couple verses with you. So we'll go back just an entire book. We'll go back to 1 Chronicles, chapter 1. So how are we made rich in every way as we give generously? Let's just look at a few. Oh my gosh, there's so many scriptures. I'd be here all day. I had to cut so much out. I'm trying to talk fast. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given to you in Jesus Christ. For in him you have been enriched in every way. Okay, well, how? Like, explain to me. In all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Wow. That's a heavy thought, isn't that? So let's go back now. Let's go back to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, sorry. And then we'll go to chapter 8. Go back just a chapter in 2 Corinthians. Are you having fun yet? Are you getting lost yet? We're doing like sword drill here this morning. Hope you can turn fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. So again, how can I be made rich in every way? Well, in this context to these group of people, he's saying in your speaking and in your knowledge. So we see here in 2 Corinthians 8, 6. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Just as you excel in everything, in faith and in speech and in knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this thing of generosity, in giving as well. So God is blessed us so richly so that we have the knowledge and the idea to be generous, to give. Where does that come from? It comes out of the heart. It just boils out of the heart. It's not your idea. It's God's design for us. And so that's so sweet. Let me just kind of wrap this whole thing up and land this thing now. So we'll just finish the last couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 to 15. The service that you performed is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. Like, because we confess Jesus as Lord, because we're saved, and your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Again, and then what will happen? And then our praises and our prayers will be received. So why generosity? Why does God use this method? And why are people all throughout Bible? Why are people all throughout time? Why are people all throughout even this church history, 90 years? Why has generosity been part of it? Like, is that just something that as pastors we're like, okay, we got to figure out how to like pay the bills here. So let's come up with something. Let's, you know, just, you know, orchestrate something in our minds. Like, are you kidding me? Like, if that's where our thinking is at, then I want to ask you to renew your mind, because it's God saying that generosity is a part of the matrix of being a Christian and walking the way, being Christ follower. So this is kind of the twist and turn. I said we get there, so we're there now. I want to land this with you. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, so just again, we're in verse chapter 9, just go back one chapter, chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in tears and crying and mourning. Like, no, and out of their severe trial, like extreme poverty, what came out of that was rich generosity. That does not make sense in my mind. I'm a mathematical, you know, I do retail. That doesn't add up. You know, we're going in the red, but all of a sudden we became super generous. Like, oh my gosh. But God is saying, listen to what these people experienced. For I testify that you gave as much as you were able, and even flipping beyond that and beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Paul wasn't like, you Corinthian, you tightwads, like I'm going to squeeze every nickel out of you because we're going to take it to Jerusalem because this church, who cares about the Corinthians? Like, no, he's saying, you asked me if I could be generous. And Paul's saying, this is just like blowing his mind. In verse 4, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. And this is where I didn't preach it last time I preached it. Here we go, verse 5. And they didn't do as we expected them to do, but they gave themselves. Where did they give themselves? To Paul, his teaching? As we would see, you know, in all these different, Apollos, all these other kind of thoughts. They gave themselves to Jesus. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Generosity is something that I can teach you about. I can inform you about with 50 scriptures this morning. But if you don't have Jesus in your heart, it's not going to well up and become an overflowing generosity. You might just give periodically because that's a nice thing to do. But there's a difference between somebody just giving and maybe like because we hear about something to give towards and a spirit that lives inside of you that's generous. It is radically different. There is a shift in your thinking because what happens when God lives inside of you, God is generous. And so without any hesitation, you can't help but be generous because God's generous. Again, nobody would ever twist your arm to do that. And so Paul's caught off guard. And I think as a church with 90 years of history here, sometimes I feel like I'm not caught off guard. But I remember in Whitehorse, we had a bookkeeper who was not a Christian. We hired her from outside in the community, and she would just come in and do her books. And every month she would say, I don't understand this church. How does this work? Why are people giving so much to this thing? It feels like every time I sit down to pay the books, I'm like, I don't know if there'll be money there to pay the books or to pay anybody. And she says, it just keeps coming in and it keeps going out. She said, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. I said, I know. Because that's the way the Lord works. Is that no matter what we're going through, the Lord will always be generous. Doesn't matter whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's financial, wherever you're at, God will still be generous because that's who he is. And he wants us to be like-minded first to the Lord. And then as we do that, we say, well, what's God's purpose in my life? What's God's will for my life? And you read that in verse 5. And then to us in keeping with God's purposes, his will, his expectations upon us, when we allow him to be in here, it just comes out of us very naturally. Again, it's not about if we should be generous. It's a matter about like who and when we should be generous. That's what God is asking of us. I really sense that there's a time coming, if it's not here already, where we're just so entrenched, so rooted in God's word, that we will begin to do unexpected things, not negative things, but unexpected generosity things. If we would truly and completely give ourselves to God's word, I really believe that everything about our church, in our community, in our relationships, in our workplaces will be radically different. When we read God's word and it goes deep into our soul and our spirit, what comes out of our mouths is the truth of God's word. And God is a generous God. God is a loving God. What will come into our mind as well is sometimes we have so fleeting thoughts, so many weird ideas, but what will begin to come out of that as our heart feeds our mouth and it transforms our thinking and our mind, we will just naturally be generous people. And it will come to a place where our church will, it's so blessed right now, there's so many good things happening, but we won't need to ask for volunteers. We won't need to ask for finances ever, because it will just be overflowing in Jesus' name. That our ministries will be like, you know, we have to start new ministries because there's so many volunteers. You know, there'll be like a youth ministry with 80 kids, and we'll have like 100 leaders at it. It'll just be awesome. Like one-on-one with leaders. You know, that'd just be fantastic. And well, how will that happen? I can't tell you that. I can't suggest that to you. It has to come out of here. Because if it comes out of here, you'll do it. If it just goes in here, you probably won't do it. You know, I'll probably forget by Wednesday what everything I just said to you. That's okay. I love you. Hopefully, you know, it's all good. But something will change. We will begin to get bolder, and we'll be able to get more caring for people about their needs and less about our needs. That's really the point of this as well, because when you're generous and you give away your time, you give away your money, and you give away anything you want, a vehicle, like whatever you want to do, I'm not calling you to do anything, but whatever you actually end up doing, you're giving a part of yourself away. And when you do that, people recognize that, and they go, wow, that's something different. You know, I've never seen that before. Tell me about why you did that. There's this wonderful church down south. They give vehicles away. So like every time somebody gets a new vehicle, they put on the church and say, don't sell your vehicle. Give it to the church and we'll find somebody that needs a vehicle. Like, I'm not saying our church can do that, but I'm just saying like somebody in that church got the desire to do that and they just ran with it and started a ministry out of that. Like, I don't know what other ministries God wants to do in our church that we're not doing yet. Like, we're doing wonderful things and we got a lot going on, as you can hear in our announcements, but who cares what our little programs are? What is God doing? How does God want to transform Terrace? Like, God is after our community. And so how can we partner with him? How can we do that? We can give away handouts and candy and shoeboxes and all kinds of fun stuff. But what are you doing here this morning? I don't know. What is God asking of you this morning? And have you said yes to it? Are you here this morning and it's going through your head and you've been thinking about it? You haven't responded yet. My heart's cry for each one of us, because that's where the blessing is. That's where God's love is. That's where God's, all these things, I'll take care of you. And you be generous. Just go, do it. Don't ask permission. I mean, unless it's something crazy, then ask, you know, double check with somebody. But just go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. And they did not do it as we expected, but they gave themselves to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. I pray that we would do what God is asking us to do in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, this morning, so thankful for your word. Father, thank you for the truth of your word that ministers deep to my soul, to my heart. Father, whatever you wanted to accomplish today, we pray just against distractions. We pray that, you know, the enemy may come in and try and distract or distort what you said today, what you deposited in people's hearts. I pray that the seed of your word landed on good soil this morning, and that it will begin to take root and begin to grow in Jesus' name. So thank you for this. Thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.